It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Dwayne Johnson calls for a stunt double, who does The Rock turn to?
The police!
When Ham the astro shrimp said, no more space flights. Who did great minds at NASA turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned actor slash daredevil has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, he's the poster child for no cloning, Paul LaVoy.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It's Friday, June 19th, 2026. Some people call it Emancipation Day. It's a federal holiday, Mike Ganuccio.
Yes, sir.
That's what do you think about that? I have my thoughts, but, you know, let's just say Bullhead City offices are closed. The county's open. Havasu's open. Their city offices and Kingman city offices are open. So, I don't know.
I think the rest should be open.
I guess it's optional. There you go. Kind of like Columbus Day and Veterans Day. Remember when they were batting that around? I'm like, well, wait a minute. I mean, no, Columbus Day is important, but veterans? Come on.
More important.
Well, I mean, would any of us be here if Columbus hadn't discovered America, right?
True, but we wouldn't be here without veterans either.
My argument is it would have been discovered eventually. All right. Welcome to the show. That is Legislative District 30 GOP candidate Mike Ganuccio, and you're in for your hour candidate thing, right?
Yeah, I'm excited to be in here. I'm hoping we get some people to call in and ask some tough questions.
No, you've been in here before. So anyway, yeah, that number, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. I heard the phone ringing earlier, but I didn't get to it in time. It was about, I don't know, 10 till or something. That's what it felt like. So time kind of flies. But candidate forums all over the place that you've been to, right? What was the one in Bullhead? That wasn't the night that we were doing ours, obviously.
No.
Was that last week?
It was, and we have another one tomorrow in Meadview.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Wow. So what is the gist of these forums for you? What kind of message are you getting out there?
The message is, you know, experience. I've been a volunteer with legislation for about the last 5 years through my volunteer role as president of Arizona Cattle Growers Association. So we fought for water. We fought with some of the BLM state land issues, keeping solar off so that we can keep multi-use permits because it's the people's land. And when you do solar, they just fence it off. It's like it's their own property, and we want to keep all that land open for the public. We fought for wolf management, you know, things of that nature. So
wait, that's a new one. I mean, I remember when the Mexican gray wolf.
That's the wolf management.
Okay, run me through that.
So somebody decided they wanted to reintroduce the Mexican gray wolf, and the animal that's reintroduced really isn't the Mexican gray wolf, and they've put it all over ranch lands and in rural communities, and they're basically untouchable. They're trying to get this established number up. They're all supposed to be below I-40, like Flagstaff all the way south, and they keep getting north. You know, there's a few times they've been north of I-40 and whatnot, and they're hurting people's animals and whatnot. We want to we don't want them there. We want to shrink that number down, or put them down in Maricopa where all these people are trying to put them in, and let the rest of the public deal with them and see what kind of a menace they really are.
Wait a minute. Are you serious about that last proposal?
You know what? If you live in Maricopa and you want to put wolves all over us, you should have them too and let you deal with them also.
Hmm. Okay. That's one way to look at it. We do have a phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hi, this is Kenny in Yucca.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, Kenny, how are you?
Fine, thank you, Paul.
Kenny's a longtime listener, kind of dropped off a little bit lately. I understand you can hear the station online, though, Kenny. Do you go on the internet much?
I don't have access to online stuff either. The vehicle I used to use, I'm in a rented vehicle today. That's the reason I'm able to hear you.
Okay. What can we help you with?
Mike, my sister and I had a conversation with you about 4 years ago at the Yucca Church. Do you recall that?
I don't. I apologize.
I didn't want to reference anything to that particular conversation, but I just wanted to let you know that I've been following you ever since that conversation. You were running against Sheriff Schuster at the time.
Yes, sir.
I was pretty impressed with your activities regarding government and all the trips that you make down to Phoenix in order to deal with all this. And I just wanted to let you know that I'm supporting you in this race, and due to the information that I've received about you over the years, the last 4 years or so, I just want to recommend to all the listeners to also support you in your upcoming election.
Well, I appreciate that very much. It means a lot.
Thanks, Kenny.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. Are you in Havasu right now?
Yes, I'm at Walmart right now.
Oh, very good. Very good. Okay. Well, thank you for shopping local, too. We appreciate it.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Kenny. And, yeah, long-time listener, Kenny. Don't get to hear from him much. We used to do a thing called the KNTR Talk Star, and every month a listener would be chosen on their interest, their email, and they would get to co-host with me once a month, all right? And this, and Kenny was one of them, so, and it was always with Sam Scarmardo.
Oh.
So it was a fun
show.
That
would be interesting.
It was a very fun show. Why not, right?
Yeah.
Why not? So, yeah, Sam was there the other night. We were on the Gray Wolf. Right? And are you really serious about that with Maricopa? Are you making friends down there or what?
You know, something's got to be done. You know, the wolf was eradicated years and years back, and it was eradicated for a reason. And you know, they don't serve a purpose where they're re-releasing them. They just making everything difficult for farmers, ranchers, and rural people that live there. You know, ranchers especially, you know, you turn those wolves out and you know, there's an issue with if there's a wolf kill on a beef, you know, they have to have so many things, criteria met before you can get reimbursed through the grant. And then the grant ran out of money because they were killing so many animals. We had to go to legislature and ask legislature to put in, I think we got them to put in $250,000 out of the state to go into the stock loss board to help some of those ranchers and other people. It's not just ranchers. It was a little girl that had a little barrel horse that, you know, she was really big into, and the wolves got a hold of it and tore it up in her yard. And, you know, it's
a barrel horse for barrel racing?
Yeah, for barrel racing.
I got you.
You know, and when a kid gets into doing something that's in ag or something other than negative things in life, you want to support that kind of stuff. And that's one thing that'll stop somebody from getting back on a horse, is to take their pride and joy from them. So anyway, the stock loss wound up paying for that horse, but it doesn't recover what that child lost.
Now, that's pretty traumatic.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't, you look at Yellowstone, you look at the wolf problem up there. It's the same thing they did up there that they're trying to do here. They reintroduced the wolf. They wouldn't let you touch them. The wolf got out of control, and now they're just desecrating the elk populations, the deer populations, and they hunt for sport. They don't hunt for food. So, you know, they'll wipe out, you know, 15, 20 cows running across the field for no reason.
And that brings up another animal I can't help but dovetail onto, and if you've had any experience with these wild burros. I mean, the management area, the BLM tells us that it supports like 250 to 300 wild boroughs. There's 10, I don't know if there's 10 times that, but it's close. And they come down to the river. It's a water issue. There's other issues involved, right?
It's not just the water issue. It's what the boroughs do. And, you know, setting aside what the boroughs eat, it's not right to see a burrow or a horse starve itself to death. And there's so many of them out there. We're in a drought that's been lasting for so long. If we don't thin that herd down a little bit, there's no food for the other ones to eat. And, you know, we've helped, you know, there's a BLM gathering station around the corner from our store in Golden Valley. And one of the stock guys, used to come in and get the hay from the store for those burros. And they would bring out a couple hundred of them. And I know there's a bunch of people that like having the burros there. I don't have an issue with the burros. It just sucks seeing them starve themselves to death. If we don't keep that herd down, then it hurts everyone else.
From seeing the town halls and the forums that I've seen and the video and that and watching online, you tend to really gravitate towards water issues, ranching, that sort of thing, right? I want to get to an issue. I heard you mention in the bullhead one, I think it was, that you were a whistleblower.
Yeah, you know, I absolutely support anyone trying to sell a product anywhere.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's an American right. If you want to sell overseas, if you want to sell local, it's your choice. I support it however you want to do it. I don't support foreign entities coming into our country, growing their own products here and then shipping it out. There's nothing for the US. There's no bonus for us.
I'll stop you for a second. I'm not connecting the dots here on the whistleblower part.
So there was a farm down in. So I have a farm in Parker.
Okay.
My leases run about $260 an acre per year plus my water, and my water for a 40-acre parcel runs me about $6,000 to $8,000 a year just to water that. And there was a foreign entity down in La Paz that was farming down there, and State Trust had leased them that farm for about $22 an acre with unlimited water.
And, sounds reasonable.
And it was about the time that I had just paid my water bill, and I was very unhappy about
that. It doesn't sound like a lot.
It's just about nothing. I mean, if you're making it, let's just say you're selling the product for $250 a ton and you're getting 6 tons an acre, you know, they're making a lot of money when they don't have to put that much money down onto it. So I did. I made a complaint, and several people ran with that complaint, and within a couple of days it was on Fox News, and next thing you know, the State Trust and the governor's getting hammered for this $22 a year lease per acre and going away.
The current governor?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yeah, this is Holly Irwin with La Paz County. I would like
Holly, you say with La Paz County.
I'm a county supervisor.
Oh, okay.
There.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, so being that you just brought up you know, the leases with Farnamonte, I would, you know, the current candidate just mentioned that this was under Governor Hobbs. This was not under Governor Hobbs, it was under Governor Ducey.
Okay.
That these leases were acquired under the State Land Department under his watch.
That's true.
Yes, that is true, because I did write a letter to our representative at the time in 2022 requesting why they were getting a discount on their leases. And
good for you.
Was that Leo? Was that Leo?
I'm sorry?
The representative, was that Leo Biasucci?
No, that was Representative Gina Cobb.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I wrote a formal letter requesting an investigation into those leases and also requested why our beneficiaries for our schools were not receiving the amount of money that they should be receiving from those land leases. So I just wanted to correct that information, because it seems like there's a lot of false information going out regarding water.
It's not false. Let's clarify. I didn't say that our current governor put those leases in. The complaint went to our current governor to put those leases out.
It also went to our previous governor, too, who did nothing.
Right.
Okay, so where is the where's the discrepancy?
And the actual,
is that in the reporting itself? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that the current leases were done under the previous governor. Mm-hmm. I also brought this issue to the Attorney General, Chris Mays, who actually came out and took a look at these areas, and this was all documented with a CBS interview that was done with her regarding these leases, and they acted on it and were able to get these leases canceled.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I just wanted to call in and clarify about that. And also wanted to ask you, too, since I have the opportunity, if I have a couple more minutes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I wanted to know what legislation did you actually work with previous Representative Regina Cobb regarding water?
So they wanted to float water down the river and pull it into Maricopa to put water to other farms toward Maricopa and get it over the line. And I was actually at the Capitol for another bill, and I try to read as many of those bills that I can. And I saw that bill, so I went and met with Supervisor Linkenfelder and Representative Cobb, and because I farm down in Parker and I use excess water to try and keep my farm going down there, I didn't want to lose the excess water into Maricopa. So I was one of the few. I don't think actually anyone else was there to testify in that form to try and get that water stopped. And luckily, after we testified and everyone else on the other side testified to try and get the water across, which was way more people by far than we had, and we still overwhelmingly won and stopped that water from crossing the line and going into Maricopa.
And where was that water coming from when you refer to excess water? Was that CAP water?
It was water off the river, yeah.
Okay, because I remember if you're referring to the transfer to Queen Creek, the Colorado River water that is being transported to Queen Creek, those were public hearings. Those were not bills.
This wasn't to Queen Creek. This was to farms.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not aware of that one because I've worked with the Regina Cobb since 2015. So I was just curious as to, you know, I worked very closely with her on legislation trying to protect groundwater here in La Paz County, and then continued over with Representative Biasucci and others, you know, up to this current bill that we were able to get put to bay for now, which is 2758, and I'd like to get your thoughts on that bill.
And I apologize, which one's 2758?
It's regarding the changing of the language of the current law that's on the books right now for McMullen Valley Basin to have water transferred to Maricopa and Pinal County. I'm surprised you haven't heard of this bill. It's been all over the news.
You know, the problem is when you're running for office, you have no time to even have a day off. I haven't had one in over 5 weeks, so it's just from place to place to place. So I apologize, I'm not up to speed on all the new stuff that's going through over the last few months. It's been crazy, as you can imagine.
Well, it's a bill that would be extremely devastating to La Paz County, and that's why I'm surprised, because we literally sent a bill to the governor that had over 100 people all over the state opposing this bill.
Would it have the same amount of devastation to Mojave County as well?
No, this basin only resides in La Paz. The majority of it's in La Paz County and Maricopa County.
I see.
Yeah.
I saw, because
so,
we
I
all...
mean, being,
go ahead.
No, being that you're running for both, you know, representing both counties, I'm surprised it's not on your radar.
And again, I apologize. There's a lot of things going on. If you want my input on it from what you've told me, I would absolutely oppose it. I think Maricopa needs to stay out of all the rural waters. They need to stay out of La Paz, and they need to figure out their water situation. They also need to get some honest water studies out there so we have true, honest numbers of what we have for water, which we don't have. Everything is all just, you know, a guess. They're not doing true water studies.
Well, we definitely have, there has been documented land subsidence and a clear decline within the basin over the past years since I've been in office since 2009, getting involved with water since 2015. And with this recent bill where a New York hedge fund is wanting to move water for a profit, it's definitely concerning, being that this basin does not have any restrictions. And we did have quite a few people go down over this past session, including myself testifying against this bill, you know, trying to prevent this type of precedence from being set. Mm-hmm. And it came down to the wire of the budget and being signed and the sign and die and, you know, support from Senator Angus helping us out down at the Capitol to keep this bill from being passed and passed up to the governor. So just some issues that you might want to be aware of that's going on in La Paz, you know, because we're part of the district too.
So your county supervisor, Irwin, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Has there been any testing on those wells since those leases got canceled? Is there any recharge going on here?
No, the amount of water that's being pumped out of the ground in both Renegris, which is Butler Valley, is actually where the leases got canceled.
Okay.
That's in a completely different basin.
I see. Okay.
And I don't know. It was all on state land. So you would have to ask the state land department.
Which is a little difficult to get information from.
That's a whole nother jigsaw puzzle that you're talking about then. I got it. Okay.
Yeah. And I don't want to take up too much of your time. I just wanted to correct some information because there's a lot of false information that's being put out there. And being that I've been involved with water for quite some time, you know, I was a little concerned when you mentioned being a whistleblower on Fonda Monte because that's been ongoing for quite some time.
I'm sure there's 100 other people that are blowing the whistle having a fit about it. It's just nice when you can voice your opinion and get other people to listen. Mine were voiced through representatives also at the Capitol that were very upset, and they just started making phone calls. So kudos to you.
Well, thank you for your time, and thanks for taking the question.
Yes,
you
ma'am.
Bet. We appreciate your phone
All
call.
Right,
thank you so much.
Thank you so much for taking it. I really appreciate it.
Okay, no problem. Wow, kind of an honor. And I don't think I've ever had in my number of years doing this show a La Paz County supervisor call the show.
That's I love it.
Cool.
I love it when people are involved that much. It's great.
I should have asked where she's calling from because that's a big county too.
It is.
So, all right, we're going to take a short break. I want to talk a little bit more about water with you, Mike, especially the plans. There's a water swap they're talking about with Las Vegas Valley Water Authority. I don't know if you know about that. It's with San Diego. They would recharge and we would recharge them. And then there's one they're talking about, the desal plant in Mexico.
That's what I want to put
down by Rocky Point. I think that would solve a big problem with Maricopa County myself. And then leave us alone here, you know, as far as the cap water that's going from Havasu to Central Arizona Project, that water that's going from here to Maricopa County. Another straw to eliminate, right?
Yeah. If we could get them to put a desal plant and take care of Maricopa, and the infrastructure was there, Maricopa could charge itself, put the excess water down into the basin, and then if any of the other rural areas had issues, that water could be pushed to other areas without a huge impact all at once.
I did have a text come in on the text line. It's 928-727-5566. They weren't real specific. I'll read it to you off the air, Mike.
Right.
I didn't want to go live with that. It was just it wasn't specific enough.
Okay.
And it was about burros. They call them donkeys, by the way.
Yeah.
All right, back with more in a moment. 928-854-5687 is the number if you want to call in and participate, or if you have any questions for Legislative District 30 GOP candidate Mike Ganusio. It's a Friday on Speak Out. Yay, the weekend's here. And U.S. national soccer team plays today. That's big for me. That's really big. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Because it's a kid with a chance. It's a rock and roll band. It's a farmer cutting hay. It's a big black flying in the summer wind. You don't mean it. I won't be right by your side. When you need me, you can't see me.
All right, there's one for the veterans, Luke Holmes, and Even Though I'm Leaving. And, you know, I'll thank you for your service, Mike. I've never served as a cop, a fireman, an ER technician, an X-ray guy, nothing. So thank you for your service as a police officer. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We all appreciate it. You guys all put your lives out on the line out there. So, I couldn't imagine what it's like to pull somebody over at 10:30 at night. You don't know who it is. They got tinted windows. And you got to ask them for a license or registration. They reach over in a glove box. You don't know what's coming out.
Repetition, training, and safety.
I guess, man, a lot more than I could hold in my brain, I'll tell you that. All right, broadcasting live from the Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. We are Speak Out, and the show brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, and from the mind of Dallas Finch comes Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo. Great pizza, sandwiches, and salads, home to the Booby Dropper, Main Street, Havasu. And check out our archives. And I'm still updating the schedule of candidates that are going to be on Speak Out. You're like one of the last ones that I had on the website, Mike, and but there's still a bunch for July. And the week before the election, leading up to the primary, the last date being Friday the 17th, that Monday we'll have John Grappentine, who is the write-in candidate for mayor. That Tuesday we'll have River Dave Johnson, who's going to be on the show for an hour. So they each get an hour, and then Cal Sheehy on that Friday, right before the primary. So.
Well, there'll be some interesting topics with that, won't there?
There was the last time, that's for sure. So that'll be their second hour, and then I'm going to squeeze all of the candidates I can in between now and then, because after the 17th, there are no candidates that are going to be on the air for the primary anyway. That's the cutoff. Just like ballots should be cut off, right? The mail-in ballots should be cut off on the 17th and counted, and then we have Election Day.
So. And then we can know the next day. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
We should know that night, just like they do in Florida. So let's talk about water a little bit more. And are you behind? What are you behind as far as, you know, developing water resources? We need water to come into the state or into the county, not just leave the district, right?
You know, I'm not a fan of water transfers. I'm not, because once you open the door, where does it stop? You know. I don't want to see river water going to Maricopa. I'd like to see the river water left alone. And then you got the rural areas. Everyone in Maricopa says, you know, if the rural areas have extra, let's try and get their water. I stand against that. And it might make some people upset. It might not. I don't want to see it go. I think that Maricopa has a bad water problem, and they need to do something about their issue. And, you know, like we were saying earlier, you know, there's options for desal or transfers from having California desal and pump into their basin and then Arizona pull out. Arizona just needs to go ahead and go down and get their own desal and let Arizona be in charge of their water. They can run a pipeline back for the brine and whatnot. And Maricopa could recharge itself, push that water all the way down toward Tucson at a lesser of a cost to get started. And then if the rural areas start having issues, we can tie into that system at a spread out cost and push water in other directions. But if we just keep trying to steal everybody's water so that everything can go, when everything runs dry and we have issues because we're in a drought, we don't know if it's going to turn around or when it's going to turn around.
Right.
If we don't do something about it, we all run out of water, then the whole state's screwed, and then, you know, we're begging the federal government for some kind of assistance.
Yeah. The Colorado River Compact dates all the way back to the 20s. You know, I used to kid Harry Reid that he was on that original committee. But anyway, I digress. Now, the desal plant in Mexico, how much of that is being used to capacity? Do we even know how much they're using before we get part of that?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, though.
It is.
We just assume, oh, yeah, we can go grab some of that. It seems a little complicated, being that we can't even own land as Americans in Mexico. We can do a 50-year lease, right?
I think we can do a 99.
Or 99? Okay. I knew it was 99. I thought it had been brought down to a 50. So, anyway, the point is we can't even own land in Mexico, and we're going to go try to get some of their water that from a plant that I assume that they built.
Well, it could be a plant. I think there's a couple plants down there. I'd like to see one of our own. It doesn't have to be a plant in Mexico. It could be a plant in the United States. Okay. We just need a pipeline.
I've had the conversation with Leo, too. So
it is very doable. It's just really, really expensive. But the thing is if we don't do something now and nothing changes with our weather, you know, we're going to run ourselves into a problem. So something's got to be started.
Where do you think Arizona, let's switch to immigration, because that's a big topic in the state legislature, obviously. Are Arizona's immigration laws strong enough?
We need to enforce the laws on the books. We need to empower agencies that specialize in taking care of the immigration stuff. I think, you know, ICE has their job. Let them come in and do their job. If you're an illegal alien that's not supposed to be in this country, then make it legal or go home.
Okay. Perfect. I'm going to go ahead and take another short break so we'll have enough time for the next topic. I want to talk a little bit about education and an idea that you floated the other night at the town hall, the candidates forum here, about superintendents, right? We'll get to that because I've been talking about the superintendent issue statewide for 20 years. But at first I thought, well, maybe he's going to rehash that, but it was a little different than that. So let's talk about that when we come back. And we will be back with more on Speak Out. 928-854-5687. 928-854-KNTR. Or you can text us at 928-727-5566. And that text line's getting a little lonely. We got two calls and one text. And I couldn't even really read the text. I could read it, I just didn't want it. You understand.
Yeah.
All right. It needed more specificity, folks. All right. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. And, it's about 15 minutes to U.S. men's soccer, as I understand it. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
From the coast of California to the shores of the Delaware Bay. You can bet your life I did till I got back in the USA.
There you go, a little Linda Ronstadt, Chuck Berry before that. Hard to believe that's the same song, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know, really hard to believe. All right, Speak Out, brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, Shooter's Outpost, Solar Power by Esme Electric, also Dorita's Place for Pets, Legacy Rehab and Care, and A&B Propane, online at abpropaneaz.com. We do have a caller on the line, and since the show is dedicated to the listener, I'm going to turn it over to Kenny. Kenny, welcome to Speak Out.
Thank you.
You don't have to yell, Kenny. You're good.
I'm concerned about the allegiance. We pledge allegiance at the beginning of all our meetings. However, there are many people who are pledging allegiance who wish to change what they ostensibly have allegiance to. And I think that's what we've got going on in rural versus the cities, the populated areas in Arizona. They want to eliminate rural Arizona is what I'm receiving from messages from our governor. I was just wondering if you have any plans when you get to have conversations with these people down in Phoenix as to helping them adjust their allegiance towards rural Arizona. I'll listen off the air for your answer. Thank you very much.
We appreciate you, Kenny. Thank you so much.
All right. You know, Kenny, a lot of it is people don't understand our way of life and what our values are because they live in a big metropolis and they have their own values and their own way of life. So, one, I'll still fight. I will always fight for rural Arizona. And make sure that we have a voice that's heard and do my best to educate them on why they should respect our way of life and let us live it. And if they want to live their life a different direction, they can live it that way. But just let us live ours.
Wow. I just got handed a note. So, folks, I don't know if you're sitting down or how many people in Havasu remember this name, but Lee Barnes.
Yeah.
The stadium, football stadium, is named after Lee Barnes, a legendary coach, educator, and one-time city councilman, passed away this morning.
Oh, that's sad.
Very. I didn't get his age or anything, but I know that family is very well known here in Lake Havasu City, and wow, our hearts go out to the entire Barnes family, and he will be missed. I always found it was interesting they named the stadium after someone who was still alive, you know. He had even more thoughts on it. I'm sure that will come out in some type of service. But, wow, Lee Barnes, again, legendary football coach at Lake Havasu High School, educator, one-time city councilman, passed away this morning. I don't have a cause. I just have a note. So that's it.
That's so sad. Prayers and thoughts to the family.
It really is. So, wow. Anyway, you can tell I'm like, it, kind of in shock right now. Speaking of education, we had a proposal that it kind of took me off guard. I've been saying for about 20 years that in Arizona, coming from Nevada to Arizona, I thought, wow, there's county superintendents, right? And you have one for each county, then you have a state superintendent, and then all the districts have a superintendent. And I thought, wow, if you've ever heard of a website called The Ladders, which is an employment website for top executives, like superintendents, that's a lot of ladders right there. So anyway, I've always proposed, what does the county superintendent do? Why don't we just, that's about $100,000 to $150,000 a year salaries, plus the support staff, right? And those executive secretaries, I mean, they make quite a bit, or executive assistants, as they're called now. So that would save quite a bit of money, but you had a different proposal.
Well, it's kind of still on the same lines. I'm not looking to eliminate jobs. I think, you know, we need to get more industry, more jobs in here. My issue with schools is it's, you know, you picture a cruise liner, you know, the whole top of the ship's got another ship sitting on top of it. It's going to tip over and sink. I'd like to see more money go to our kids so that our kids get a better education, and we have so much admin that I just don't see it. You know, you go to other states, and like you were just saying, and they have half the admin and they have more teachers. I don't understand why we have to have so many chiefs to line up our cavalry.
Sure.
To get everything done for our kids.
No, a lot of people complain the Clark County School District's way too big. It reaches from Vegas to Henderson to Laughlin, you know. But there's arguments both ways. But I just thought it was an interesting proposal. That's all.
I'd like to see it shrunk down where, you know, I think the original question that you're referring to is, you know, rural Arizona, rural schools, you know, and they always seem to get a little shorted. You know, my son went to a rural school, and it was a K through, I believe it was through junior high, and then they went to Kingman High School. And, the school was always the last to get anything, is what it seemed. And it was just by itself. So it'd be nice if there was one set of guidelines for all schools, all got equal for the area, so that our kids could get a better education. You know, my kids should have been able to come into, Kingman in an easier way to get it done, but, you know, it got to a point where I was driving 3 hours every day, 4 days a week, so my kid could go to school in Kingman to get the education I wanted him to have.
So 3 hours, were you driving from La Paz?
I was driving from Meadview to Kingman
every day. Wow, right.
So I saw the issues, and I knew the principal close. I was a resident deputy up there, so I knew them all really, really well, and they all had the same complaints. You know, the school doesn't get everything that the other schools get, and they wanted it better, and they all complain about the same thing too. There's too much brass, and there's not enough at the teaching level to give the kids their quality education. So I just want to push for that.
So how would have you thought this out though? How would the school board work at a county level like that? You just have a county board of trustees then?
There's no difference in what we have now. It's just bigger.
Oh, I see.
You know, we just have less chiefs in there. You know, I think
right.
We could still do it. You know, let's say we have, what, 10 schools in one district?
I got
Why
you.
Can't we have 20 and,
okay.
and get rid of some of that admin and take that money and put it more toward our kids?
Have you Do you have an example of working as a team? Because this is a legislative team, obviously. You have senator and you have two state representatives, like we have now. We've always had in Legislative District 30. Do you have examples of working as a team, Mike?
You know, I spent 4 years as president of Arizona Cattle Growers Association and executive director, working as a team. I mean, I had a full board and I had a full executive committee. And it's great when you have a team that plays, because everybody had their jobs and we all wanted the same end goal results. So our board or our executive committee would put, and our regular committees, because we had one for grazing, one for BLM. You know, we had so many different committees. They would put their proposals together and then they would send them up and we would run with them at the Capitol or at state lands or BLM to try and get things done for the best. You know, it's great when you have more than one. And I know our position that we're running for now for LD 30 has two representatives, one senator, and we have a team theory. You know, otherwise you can't get half the things done that we're able to get done. So as long as we can work together, which I'll work with anybody, I don't have any issues with it. I just want to have fun, move forward and with our good work and get things done for our district. So having the three working together will be great. I like to see, you know, if we have two representatives, I like the fact that, you know, our vast representative candidates that are running are strong in so many different areas. You know, I hope we get two representatives that are really strong in different areas so that we can team up, combine those efforts together, work with our senator, and get all of those things passed. And you know, if when I'm elected as that position, if there's something that I'm not strong in and my other half is, I plan on leaning on that person for their expertise toward it and vice versa so that we can get more done for our district.
So I want to get to public lands really quick. We have maybe 3-4 minutes, okay? What should the state focus on as a management strategy for public lands? Are they doing it right now? Are they doing it wrong? And how should it be fixed?
You know, state trust, they're so overwhelmed. It's a good organization. It's a good entity. It's rules and policy. And that's the position I'm running for, is rules and policy. I don't like seeing our state lands, because I have state land leases.
Okay.
I don't like seeing our state lands turn from a multi-use permit to a single-use permit, i.e., you know, we all fought our county board of supervisors. We had solar fields coming up in Mojave County on public lands, and we don't want them there. You know, we've testified at the Capitol for it, and they say they still remain public lands and they're open to the community, but they're not.
So wait, what's multi-use, single-use? Multi-use would be like farming and ranching?
No. So let's take my ranch up in Valentine.
Okay.
I've got a state land section up there. So the state land and the BLM sections that are on mine are all multi-use permits, which means you're welcome to come on my ranch. Just don't tear it up.
I see.
We like everyone coming up there. But when you change it from a multi-use, like say you cover it in solar, they put a fence around it. You're not allowed on it no more.
That's not your land anymore?
They're not our public lands anymore. They've been leased to somebody. You're locked off of it. You can't go, you can't hunt, you can't fish, you can't enjoy the scenery, whatever. You're locked out of it. So that's not what our public lands were set up for. So I want to make sure they stay as a multi-use function.
Okay. We do have another phone call. Take it real quick. I'll have to ask the caller to listen off the air. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
The public lands for solar, they poison the ground. They scrape it. They poison it so nothing can grow on it. Then they install the panels, and that's all it's good for. No critters can go in there, no people, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's only good for panels.
Absolutely, Kenny.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. And that's why you don't see anything growing on those solar fields.
Right.
Right, right. Do you have endorsements, Mike?
So I'm endorsed by the Arizona Police Officers Association, Representative John Gillette, and the Arizona Chamber, or the Phoenix Chamber of Commerce.
Phoenix Chamber. Okay. Perfect. And then let's take a minute and tell everybody why they should vote for Mike Ganuccio for Legislative District 30 State Rep.
You know, I'm a retired police officer. I'm a rancher. I'm a farmer. I have lots of life experience in this. Plus, I've been volunteering for many things in legislature over the last 5 years, so I have a head start. I know many people at the Capitol, senators, representatives, I can hit the ground running to try and represent our rural areas. That's my primary focus. I'm tired of seeing, you know, concrete, really nice freeways all over Maricopa. And look at Mojave County. We're just finally getting our roads done, which, you know, thank you to Representative Biasucci and Gillette and Senator Angus for getting our roads redone. It's just, it'd be nice if we could get our roads redone a little bit sooner before our front ends fall off of our cars before they get fixed. So that will be my fight, is to make sure that we get our fair share in a timely manner so that our roads are up to par all the time, along with our infrastructure. I look forward to working with all of our community leaders to see what they need, to see what tools I can give them and support so that we can get all of our projects done and make our rural community stronger.
All right, perfect. So the question we had on text last time, they claimed that you didn't know what you were talking about with donkeys, right?
Right.
I don't want to read it verbatim, but then I asked for more, what, you know, be more specific. You just can't make an accusation like that. It said donkeys, I think they mean burros, dig wells all over the desert that they and all species benefit from. They are not dying of thirst. Take them away, and now many animals die of dehydration. That is just one of the many great things about donkeys.
Well, as long as I've lived in Mojave County on that side, there's not a whole lot of places where a donkey can dig to water when the water table is 500 feet deep. But the problem is donkeys are not native to that area. And I wasn't referring to donkeys drinking. I was referring to what they're eating.
Right.
And when they eat what's left of the forage out there, it destroys ranch land. It hurts the donkeys. They lose weight. They suffer, and it's not fair to them. And if we keep the numbers at a manageable level, then things are better. But if we just let it run wild, then nobody can benefit. The animals will all starve, from the rancher side to the donkey side.
I don't know how well a job the BLM does at managing that land, but when they say they're, you know, 8 to 10 times the population that the land can support, I'm probably going to believe them and, you know, just not. I'm going to take their word for it. I don't know why. I mean, why would they want to go out there and relocate them and round them up and all that, right?
Right.
Put them in pens or whatever and up for adoption.
It's humanity.
We got to get going. But I got to let people know, on Monday's show, Sam Scarmato is going to be on for the first half, Grace Hecht for the second half. She's also running for the same seat that Mike is trying to get, one of the two seats anyway, right?
Yep.
Mike Canusio, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
That was not an easy hour. Did a good job.
It was a fun hour.
All right. Appreciate it. All right. I'm going to take it straight up to Hannity. We got some commercials, the news, and then Sean Hannity.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.